This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Rick Larson. He is the VP of Community and Member Programs for EAA. And Rick, EAA has instituted a new policy for its youth programs, and it involves a marked shift from what has happened with things like Young Eagles in the past. Can you first explain what the policy is and a little bit about how it came about?
Sure. What we wound up implementing about 2.5 months ago is a program that provides a bit more structure and guidance for our volunteers and for staff in terms of how we go about delivering our youth programs. With that comes a training aspect, as well as for certain individuals, depending on what they're involved in from a position standpoint or activity standpoint, a background check. It is a program that is very similar to what you would see in almost any other youth-oriented program that's out there, whether you're looking at things like Civil Air Patrol or you're looking at scouting or looking at YMCA or school programs, a very similar type of program.
So EAA did not have a formal policy on youth protection before this. Is that correct?
That is correct. We did not.
Okay, so there has been some backlash, and some of the questions that have come up on the forum sites are what initiated this initiative. Was there an incident? Was it insurance related, or is it just a matter of best practices?
I think if you step back and you look at it, it's something that we've been talking about internally now for some time, and first and foremost, it arose out of what we felt was oriented around a need for best practices to be established. And when you look at the program and you look at a program that is involving, on the Young Eagles side, 60,000 to 70,000 kids per year, it's no insignificant program. And when you lay that against the basic expectations that now exist for any organization that's involved in delivering youth-oriented programming, we felt there was a void there, and it was something that we really needed to step up and address. I think the other piece, and to be completely upfront, is we had a couple situations arise that involved EA members that were Young Eagle pilots that had flown in both of the cases, most recent cases, a number of Young Eagles that wound up running into issues related to activities that they were ultimately charged with. And we simply felt like we couldn't be in a position anymore to have the exposure there, not just for the organization, but for a volunteer, whether that's a chapter leader or a Young Eagle pilot. We felt we weren't in a good position that, if God forbid something else happens, that the media is in front of a Young Eagle volunteer or a chapter leader and saying, "Didn't you have a program in place?" And the only answer would be, "Boy, we really didn't think we needed it. We're all a bunch of good guys generally, and we never thought this could happen." We just felt like that was not a good place to be.
Okay, as I mentioned, there has been some backlash. There have been people who are saying that they will no longer fly Young Eagles. They regard it as an infringement of their privacy and rights and all of that. What do you say to the people who are quitting?
Well, I think what we've tried to do is, when it comes to the folks that have taken issue with it, is number one, we really did take a lot of input after this was launched and have made changes to the program that we felt that we could make that didn't take the starch out of the program. I mean, it's a balance there that you know, we needed to achieve. So, you know, we made changes in things like how we handle Social Security numbers related to background checks. We make that optional for those that provide one. The background check provider goes and expunges, you know, the number from their record. We simplified the policy. We put it into more plain English. You know, we split the policy up because I think we were trying to do a one size fits all policy. And frankly, you know, part of the issue with the entire thing was that, you know, we wound up with something that was complicated or overly complicated. And people were misinterpreting. So we tried to simplify it and simplify the way the policy works. So, you know, we've reacted to the feedback that we were receiving. We understand that there are certain folks out there that, regardless of whether this was EAA or wanting to go volunteer at the YMCA, if they were faced with you need to have a background check done, would probably say, no, I'm not interested in doing that because I simply don't believe I should have to do it. Again, I think from our perspective, we look at it, and part of our, you know, part of the role that the organization has to play is to be in a position of protecting the organization, protecting a program like Young Eagles, and protecting our volunteers. And we felt that that also, or that necessitates having a program out there that you could look at and say is best practice. And best practice is, you know, implemented, you know, in a manner across the board in almost all these organizations in much the same manner that we have. So, you know, I think, you know, our focus at this point is moving forward with programs like Young Eagles. As you know, we're approaching 2 million this year, and, you know, we will, you know, continue to put a strong effort and encouragement behind that. I think the other thing, Russ, is that if you go look at just sheer numbers, we're about a month away from the deadline that we put out as May 1, where, you know, this policy really takes effect. There are about 6,000 folks that, when you look at the Young Eagles program, that we initially communicated to that were active Young Eagle pilots or Young Eagle coordinators that would need to take the training. And as we sit here today, out of the 6,000, we've got over 5,000 that have completed the training and the background check with a month to go. Now, I don't know where that number is going to wind up, but, you know, we are encouraged at this point with the activity that we're seeing, and, you know, we're going to move forward and move forward aggressively with the program and with, you know, a program like Young Eagles.
That was going to be my next question. Do you see any impact on Young Eagles and, you know, even reaching that 2 million goal this year?
You know, we certainly don't see impact that's going to, you know, have an impact on whether we reach 2 million or not this year. You know, again, you know, are there going to be handfuls of people that look at, ultimately wind up in a situation where they look at you know, a policy like this and say, look, I'm not going to participate? Sure, I think there's going to be. You know, in any year, if you go look at the activity around Young Eagles and you look at the core of Young Eagle pilots that are active, there's probably 1,000 or so that go from being really active to inactive, and then there's 1,000 or so that come in and backfill. And that's just sort of normal churn that happens with a program like this. And we would expect that to continue. You know, I certainly can't sit here and say that, you know, what we've implemented will have no impact on the program over the short term. I'm sure, you know, it'll have some. But, you know, when we're looking at the numbers we're looking at right now, and these are real numbers of, you know, like say over 5,000 at this point that have gone through the training and the background check, we're encouraged by that. And, you know, I think we're encouraged, you know, that you know, they stepped up to take the training and do what they've needed to do. And, you know, we'll continue to press on that and press forward. And, you know, we'll, we have every reason to want to continue to push the Young Eagles program forward. We believe in what it does and the impact that it has, and we by no means implemented something to try to stave off what the ultimate impact of a program like Young Eagles is all about.
Okay, well, thanks very much for your time today, Rick. It's Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.